Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, yeah. It don't matter.
Yeah.
What race, creed, or color. Everybody, we need each other. Wake up, everybody.
No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead.
Welcome to another edition of Let's Speak On It, the show where you let your voice and your vote be heard. I am your host, Jazz Irving. We are here to pick a few, and we're picking up people from all around the world now, which is very encouraging. But to let you know what our mission is, we are here to educate and inform our voting listeners of current news and trends happening on the political front that impact their lives by having open conversation and sharing them information. We want to filter out the noise in this era of information overload and the 30-second sound bites that unfairly represent the truth, as we've seen recently in some of the ads that have just been released by Mitt Romney and Rick Perry, thereby misleading the general public. And our goal is to start a grassroots movement across the country to get the public to act in the upcoming elections, making informed decisions and electing those that will truly have the best interests of the country at heart and not those of special interests, big business, signing pledges that impede the spirit of cooperation. We believe this will help to elect government officials that will set the country back on a reasonable path to prosperity and also to help President Obama's re-election efforts for 2012. And that's one of our main goals, is to get him reelected, to maintain control of the Senate, and get back control of the House of Representatives. It's a call to action, as we need to fight back before Republicans completely hand over the government to corporations while setting labor back 100 years. We need to mobilize an army of Democratic, independent, and Republican voters to reverse and stop the current direction of the Republican Party and Tea Parties. This show and our success will only be possible with your input, your ideas, and your action. This is a vehicle for us to discuss and share information, as I said, that doesn't always make the mainstream media. So please don't be afraid to chime in the conversation. You may have information or an idea or a totally different perspective that we haven't considered, so please do share with us. Our call-in number is 646-378-0673. And when you call in, you need to press 1 on your phone in order to speak. That way I can recognize you and bring you on board. One of the things I mentioned a couple weeks ago, if anybody has any ideas on things that the president can do without having to go through Congress to act on it, to help move the economy forward or help stimulate or create jobs. They have created a new website called whitehouse.gov/advise, A-D-V-I-S-E. For those wishing to contribute ideas they feel will help. And again, these are things that the president can do on his own via executive order without having to go through the approval of Congress. So if you have an idea, please go to the website and share it. That's whitehouse.gov/advise, A-D-V-I-S-E. For those that have been in paying attention to the money movement and things that I've been pushing very much on the show on a pretty much a weekly basis as far as moving your money out of the too big to fail banks and moving them into smaller community banks and credit unions. That move is definitely caught on. The project was actually started by Arianna Huffington from Huffington Post. And this is basically to try to push financial reform of the big banks by encouraging account holders to move the money. Since this movement began, more than $4.5 billion in assets have been moved from banks to credit unions. And I received lots of feedback from people that are making that move. Sometimes it's been with great difficulty. During bank transfer day a couple of weeks ago, many big banks took a real hit. 40,000 Americans moved their money from the nation's biggest banks to credit unions, voicing their distaste with the actions of America's financial institutions. About 650,000 Americans joined credit unions in October, which is more people than in all of 2010 combined. And according to CG42, a consulting firm that does works for some of the biggest banks, the nation's 10 biggest banks, could stand to lose as much as $185 billion in deposits next year due to customer defections. Of the banks, Bank of America is the most vulnerable and can lose up to 10% of its customers and $42 billion in consumer deposits in the next year. So that's something for them to start thinking about, and I guess they are really feeling sorry now that they tried to push that $5 fee on their debit cards because it's having a very adverse effect on them. Some of the states are now even catching on to this idea. New Mexico's House of Representatives voted 65-0 to pass a bill that allows the state to move between $2 and $5 billion of state funds to credit unions. An annual funds bill subject to a vote by New Mexico's Senate, Governor Bill Richardson told the bill sponsors that he supports the legislation, and New Mexico currently keeps $1.4 billion in accounts in Bank of America. So I think it's great that the state and local governments are doing the same thing in the interest of their communities. That will help them for reinvesting in their communities, helping small businesses in their communities, and keeping jobs here at home. So I encourage people to continue to close your accounts at the banks, move your money to credit unions, and consider E-Trade and other internet accounts. Again, this is something, if you have direct deposits, you can basically just go to the bank and set it up to simply go there, because some people are running into difficulty trying to close out their accounts. Just basically move your direct deposit and let the other account basically just slow itself and run out as you move across. Again, I encourage you to keep that going. The Occupy movement in New York a couple of weeks ago started a march to go from New York to Washington, D.C., and they were scheduled to arrive in Washington, D.C. today to make their voices heard on the Bush tax cuts in hopes that President Obama will let them expire. And from everything we've seen in the news with the super committee and the activities going on there, since they couldn't come to agreement and the $1.2 trillion in cuts that are supposed to take effect, and my understanding is that President Obama is going to, at this point in time, let those Bush tax cuts expire. You've even had groups of millionaires and billionaires go to the Capitol and basically request that the Congress raise taxes on those making $1 million a year or more. And they still have been refusing to do so. So hopefully we're going to get that. We'll see some action there. Again, it's all about the Occupy movement. It's all about fairness. Even though the GOP has recently started to a lobbyist campaign against them and trying to label the movement basically as a bunch of vagrants looking for handouts, which we know that that's not the truth. That is not the case at all. Newt Gingrich even went so far to say that they need to take baths and get jobs. Well, some of these folks that are out there protesting do have jobs. These are not all just out-of-work college students. These are people from all walks of life across all cultures looking basically for fairness in our system so that they know that their work and their efforts will give them a chance just like everybody else has gotten a chance in this country. So support the Occupy movements as they come along. Herman Cain was in the news last week because he requested Secret Service security. And come to find out that he had been receiving threats. They also, in the news, didn't want to release what the nature of those threats were. The Associated Press actually, through Georgia's open records law, requested a copy of the report so they could understand or determine what the cause was. Cain's campaign office in Stockbridge, Georgia, reported receiving a call from someone who did not identify himself, but who claimed he was a member of the Ku Klux Klan. And the man said that Cain, who is black, should not run for the White House. A direct quote was, "Tell him not to run, and there's no such thing as a black Republican," unquote. The man said, according to a written statement, that Cain's administrative assistant, that's basically what was stated, according to Cain's administrative assistant, Lisa Riker, gave to police. Local police alerted the FBI and the U.S. Secret Service to the incident. Secret Service protection is given to each major party presidential nominee, but can be provided if Homeland Security Department approves a campaign request. So on his request and the fact that he has high for the Republican candidates, he was granted the request for Secret Service coverage. It seems that in last night's GOP debate, Mitt Romney was doing fairly well, and I thought he was one of the I'll say him and Newt Gingrich were probably the two top performers. Well, a story released today by CNN in Des Moines, Iowa, representatives for the leading social conservative groups in Iowa, they held basically a meeting today as part of an effort with a goal to find and support a Republican presidential candidate who can stop Mitt Romney. In other words, everybody has been saying because he flip-flops and he's not necessarily suited for the far right-wing Republican Party and their causes, that they want to stop his campaign in its tracks. So now the thing is, who is it going to be? Is it going to be Newt, or is there going to be another Republican candidate that rises? Right now, I think Newt has the lead, and unless he makes a big mistake, which he may have last night when he made the statement about immigration, and they basically accused him of wanting to grant amnesty for illegal immigrants. Me, myself, I think that's the perfect thing to do. We've done it once before, and we're doing it. There's nothing wrong with doing it now. You're not going to get 11 or 12 million people out of this country, and the fact is that they're working people and are contributing to the nation's economy. But, again, our far-right crazies, the Tea Parties, won't see it that way. Those are the latest news events I wanted to bring you up to date on. Now, we have a special guest this evening, Mr. Bob Ross, and he is the current president of the Prince George's County chapter of the NAACP. Mr. Ross lives in Clinton, Maryland, and he was elected in November of 2010. He's a lifelong community activist. He is also chairman of Maryland's PA Council. He is a native of Philadelphia and moved to Prince George's County in 2001 on a temporary job assignment and permanently relocated in 2003. He quickly became involved in his community and eventually joined the PTA at his son's high school, and then basically got in through the ranks of the county and eventually statewide PTA organizations. His goal is to increase the group's membership of the NAACP and appeal to younger residents as one of his top priorities. So let me bring him on right now. Mr. Ross, how are you there?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Oh, fine. A little tired, but always working.
I understand. So would you care to expound a little bit on some of the activities that you're currently undertaking as far as some of the local things that you're doing?
Well, some of the local things that we're doing, we're reorganizing the branch to bring it, our city, bringing it to the 21st century. And, you know, such as things that, you know, put in on Facebook, doing the tweet, and also reaching out to our younger generation. The question always has been, is NAACP still relevant? Our theme this year is affirming the American promise, reconnecting to civic engagement at the local level. So that's what we're doing here in the county, is living up to that theme. And by that, for example, we are bringing on other organizations to be on our executive committee so they can be like fingers out into the community or tentacles out into the community to bring us back their concern. Who's involved with the redistricting here in Prince George's County, which I was just informed that is going to end up in court because of some legalities that may be considered gerrymandering. We're also involved with employment and foreclosure. We just partnered with a new group called Baltimore Neighborhood Incorporation to be part of our executive committee. We also have partnered with DeCosta of Maryland to reach out to our Hispanic community, our Brown brothers. And we found that organization service 35% of the people that they service are not Hispanic. And we found that to be very interesting. So we partnered with them to reach out to those communities that we, you know, have been serving. The county is 500 square miles. You have one branch in the county to service almost a million people. So we have to reinvent ourselves and to really service the people. And discrimination is live and kicking.
So what do you, I guess you're saying there's a million people in the county. How many, or do you have an accurate count of how many members you have in the county right now?
Membership in this county right now, we're a little bit under 800 members. And that's a sad commentary, because a county that claims to be, or which is stated in the media, this is the richest African and well-educated community in the country. Yet, we have not been able in the past to attract members. So as we assess that, what we've been doing wrong, well, we haven't kept up in how we communicate. And since I have taken over, there has been a new excitement as the executive committee changes our focus and looking at this organization as a business and a nonprofit and trying to, you know, lay out a 5-year business plan on how we're going to grow the organization, looking at the hiring an executive director and administrative staff. But those are the kinds of things that is needed to run the day-to-day operation. You can't do it with a totally volunteer staff. And that's one of the problems that most branches have throughout the country. We try to do it on a volunteer base. Well, we're just not equipped to do it on a volunteer base. So we have to sort of mirror how the national operates with a staff. So our goal within 5 years to raise the necessary capital, which probably have, you know, operating budget of a minimum of $500,000, so we can hire the people to run and hire the legal staff that we need to represent our people in cases, because right now the criminal justice system, the way that it's running, I got a case right now. A guy got 45 years for what we consider a minor offense, a first-time offense, and we just can't figure out why he got 45 years. The other court system, another case that we have right now, is concerning a father who has not seen his child in 4 years, and this judge refused to grant visitation right, and for no apparent reason. So those are the kinds of things that we are up against. And you can't do that unless you have funds to hire the people that you need to go out and represent your clients. We get a lot of federal people working in the federal government that has been discriminated against. School system, just a lot of complaints. So as we try to address them right now, it's hard, and we've been able to find some attorneys to take some things, and others we try to handle ourselves.
So let me ask you a question then, going back to what you opened up with as far as the membership numbers. And the fact that, you know, PG County is probably the wealthiest African American county in the country,
uh-huh.
And it's do you think that I guess some of the lack of involvement, or, and I don't want to use the word apathy, but do you think that some of the lack of involvement is the fact that because the community I'll say is so well off that it's, you know, it's one of those situations where it's not happening to me. So therefore, I'm not going to be concerned about it. You know how sometimes we don't take a stand on something until we're involved in the middle of it.
That's part of it, but it's a lack of being not involved historically, allowing other people to dictate how you define your community. African Americans, I'm going to say blacks need to be involved. If we go back to the civil rights movement. We got involved, and because it was a cause. That cause is still there. Discrimination is running rampant. And so we have to re-educate our people here in this county and throughout the country that you no longer can be apathy, because we will have a generation of basement kids because they won't be able to find a job and take care of yourself, the way the economy is going now. And that's why we are in favor and support the Occupy Wall Street movement. And we're fixing on December the 6th to go to Washington. And we're meeting at 9:30 at Union Station, about 10 groups. And we're going to join that movement that you talked about earlier that's coming down. It's already down from New York. And we're going to be setting up encampments in D.C.
Outstanding. So when you join in with that movement, are you going to be? I mean, what is the goal of that exercise? Is it to occupy, say, for example, the Hill? Because I know at one time there was discussion that basically have the Occupy folks join in with some of the other organizations, such as National Action Network, NAACP, to occupy the Hill and occupy these Republicans' offices. And get them to try to pass the America's Jobs Act that President Obama's been pushing since they came back off of summer break after Labor Day.
And we're going to be advocating for that. We're going to be visiting our Congress people to let them know that they no longer – this is the worst Congress that I've seen in my lifetime, and I'm 67 years old. This is a do-nothing Congress. And we're going to have to figure out how to get them out of office, whether they're Republicans or Democrats. And if they're not in favor of the American people, the people that really need jobs, assistance, Medicare, housing, we have forgotten about our poor folks. We forgot about the have-nots. And they cannot be there for self-serving reason. They are servants of the people. And they need to get back serving the people. Right now, they're not serving the people. They're serving their own special interests. 500-some-odd people trying to get one man out of office, but yet holding up a nation from working.
And on that point, let me ask you this question, because there's been lots of, I'll say, studies or surveys going around where they talk about the enthusiasm of Democratic voters and President Obama's voting base. And that enthusiasm is not there now as it was back in 2008 when he first ran for office. And there are a lot of folks that basically, from my perspective, the president hasn't really done anything for them. They don't see any difference in their life since he's been in office. You know, and I've argued the point that he doesn't have a magic wand or anything. And when have you ever seen a president go in that did something for a specific individual? You act on behalf of the country. What's your view on folks that have that kind of an attitude or a position that seem to think that because President Obama got elected to the highest office in the land, that everything should have changed and, you know, things should have gotten better for the black community.
No, we didn't get into this mess overnight, and we're not going to get out of it overnight. Obama has only, you know, he's going into his third year. Okay, so you can't expect for him to come in and change everything overnight because, like you said, he represents all the people. But at the same time, this is the worst Congress that I've ever seen. I've never seen them say a Congress that said no, 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 no. Everything is no. So you can't achieve it. So he's doing a great job. He found a way to use his executive authority. I always say if he learned how to curse a little bit, he might move ahead a little faster. Okay, but he's doing the right thing for the people. The American Job Act is what we need. He did a favor for the veterans by passing that signed piece of legislation in because veterans have constantly been left out. He's trying to reinvigorate the infrastructure, which will create construction jobs. But I know right here in this county, I went to a meeting the other night. They want to put what they call the Baltimore-Washington Intermodal Facility, and that's dealing with freight trains, the double stacks. And as you know, the Panama Canal is fixing to open back up after their construction in 2015. That would create 1,300 jobs here in Prince George's County if that site is selected. And I went to the meeting, and I was surprised to see the folks fighting bringing in business to the county. Sometimes us older people forget about our younger people. We're so worried about the noise and the traffic and the inconvenience. But I keep saying, what are we going to do for our youth that just go to community college, just finish high school? What kind of jobs are they going to have? And construction and plumbing and all that kind of stuff and electricians, HVAC, those are good jobs. But for some odd reason, we're into this mentality that everybody has to go to college and get a degree. But everybody can't be a lawyer or a doctor.
Right.
But yet, I know for a fact on the railroad, a locomotive engineer makes $100,000 a year. Okay? I was a locomotive engineer one time. So I know what kind of work pay scale they have. And you can take care of a family on that kind of money. So those are the kind of jobs that Obama, when he started talking about infrastructure and building the railroad and putting it back into place, you know, that's a good thing. Because one of the problems with the railroad is that you can mix freight and passenger service together. So you got to create a whole different infrastructure just to handle the passenger side of it. Because, as you know, freight is money. Passengers is no money. So if the train's going to sit on the side of the road, guess who's going to sit? The passengers are going to sit, and the freight is going to move. So you got to recreate this whole notion of a national railroad. And that's what we need. And that was when I heard that, I fell in love with his plan. When you started talking about rebuilding the bridges and the highway, 85% of the bridges in America need to be rebuilt. And those are good construction union jobs. People can make a decent living. And we have to teach our kids that those are good jobs.
So do you think with the I'll say with the current incumbents in Congress in particular, that people are going to turn out in the numbers that they need to turn out in next year in November for the election to basically oust them from office and get the right kind of people in there? And I'm with you. It doesn't matter to me whether they're Democrat, Independent, or Republican, as long as they're willing to do the right thing. In other words, they haven't signed some kind of pledge on a piece of paper that really doesn't mean anything about raising taxes, other than the fact that Grover Norquist is being backed by the Koch brothers and some others out there. And so when some Republican decides that they're not going to support that pledge, then when it comes time for them to be reelected, actually run somebody against that individual and put up enough money to get them out of office and get one of their own in office. So do you think we can turn out in large enough numbers?
And we're going to have.
It's getting to the point where so much money is coming into elections and everything. Will we be able to generate the cash, or do you think we need to generate the cash, or we can just generate the numbers to come out and vote?
We need to generate the number. So right now you have to start a good voter empowerment and educating the voters about the issues. In states where we don't have, you have to sort of look at the areas where you have to go in and see how they had voted and who need to be removed and taken out. And then you lay out a strategy, a national strategy, mustering your forces from wherever you have to muster them. If Maryland is a safe state, and we know we got two good Democrats or Republicans or independents or whatever, that we don't need to spend a lot of energy on those congressional races. Still a lot of energy on the presidential election, educating people on the issue and who is the best candidate for office for the presidency. So you have a dual mission here. You have to look at it. Just like when Jesse ran in 88, Shaka Fatah, who's the congressman now out of Philadelphia, he organized and we took buses and buses of people down to North Carolina and South Carolina, and we dispersed and we went out and we worked for Jesse ever so hard. That's the kind of effort that is going to have to take place for the 2012 election. We're going to have to muscle our forces and the money. We're going to have to go out to those areas where we had traditionally have not went and encourage those folks to come out to vote. Churches are going to have to start doing a lot more to educate their people and vote. Grassroots organizations are going to have to really step up to the plate and be grassroots organizations again. Because right now, a lot of grassroots organizations just aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Is the NAACP on a national level? Because I was reading a report the other day. University of Chicago did a study, and it's basically talking about our black youth and the fact that especially those that are living in urban areas are not involved in almost any way at all with the political process. In a lot of cases, they don't believe that their vote even counts, or that it's going to make a difference. They're just at a total loss over the political process. What is it that we can do, and what is the NAACP trying to do, say, on a national level, to try to encourage our youth, get them involved in the political process, educate them to the things that are going on and the various processes, they know they can have impact, and each vote does count. Granted, there's a lot of political maneuvering going on right now, especially in the Republican Party and so many states across the country with these voter suppression laws, photo ID and things of that nature. What can we do on a national level to get our kids involved? I know the churches, typically when it comes time to get towards the election, they'll start ramping up and getting involved to get people, especially when it's, for example, in the case of for President Obama, to support him and get him reelected. But we also need to do that on off-presidential elections as well, because that's how we ended up in this situation we're in right now with the 2010 election. People didn't get out and vote, and that's how the Republicans took over the House.
Right, exactly.
What will the NAACP, or what kind of strategy are you aware of that on a national level that they may be putting to get out?
Okay, the NAACP has started their national push. For example, every region will start having training in civic engagement and voter empowerment. For Region 7, the region that we're in, which includes Virginia, Maryland, and D.C., our training starts on December the 3rd. It is a all-day, 10-hour training session for us to design a plan on how we're going to educate, one, our youth, two, how we're going to register voters, three, how we're going to educate, and four, to get out the vote. So the NAACP has a national plan that they implemented by region to turn out the vote in 2012. Now, we got to... But here at the local level, what we're doing, for example, last Friday, our youth from the youth chapter and from a group called Katie Abel Foundation. They went to New York to find out what the occupation of Wall Street was all about, because they wanted to come back and educate the youth about what they need to do. So, and that would move. The other thing that we're fixing to do is form what we call, the NWC has them called the Leadership 500. They hold a meeting once a year in various places. So we are, and that's designed for ages 30 to 50. So we're going to start educating those folks about what the NAACP do and encourage them to get involved with voting empowerment. And every state that we're in, we need to understand the voting law and how to register people. For example, in Maryland, in order to register somebody, you have to be a certified register. Okay, so we was able to have, in Prince George's County, at the Board of Election, is to have one person go down, and now that one person can train people to do register voters. And where we plan on training 300 people, because our goal is to register 50,000 new voters here in Prince George's County. Because when we looked at the presidential election the last time, 47% of the people came out to vote out of a possible 500,000. That was 47%. I mean, you know, so we can't have that figure if there's some apathy throughout the country. Those states that have large communities of African Americans is going to have to get out there and muster up the support and partner with progressive groups that are in favor of the current policies and procedures that benefit black folks, brown folks, and everybody in general.
So now, in your efforts, I'll say, speaking specifically for PG County, and the effort that you have to go around to try to educate the youth, how many people do you have, I'll say, at your disposal to kind of help you conduct some of that training or education?
Right now, we got about 15 people. And that committee is going to grow. We just got a new chair for that, a very energized lady named by Terry Williams, and we're fixing to put that into full swing. And we're going to be partnering with other organizations to help with this voter registration and voter education. See, because one organization can't do it by itself. So we got to work with SCLC. We have to work with Men's Aim and Higher, People for Change, all organizations we have to work with in order to bring about the change that we have. We no longer can be selfish. And one of the things that we have in our complacent, you said earlier, we tend not to want to trust one another, but we got to get away from that.
I agree. Most definitely I agree on that.
Okay.
Do you currently have a presence out on the Facebook, or you have a website specifically for the county?
I didn't hear the question.
Are you on Facebook right now, or do you specifically have an NAACP website for the county chapter?
Yes, we have. We're on Facebook. We do have a website, and we also tweet. So we're doing it all with the social media.
Can you give us your website? Because I want to make sure I get that broadcast out.
The website is NAACP-umarboro.org.
Is UMarboro all together?
Yes, that's all together. Mm-hmm. And they can go to our website, and they go to the bottom of the page, and they go right to our Facebook page. If they want to join us on Tweet, they can join. They can join us on, they can tweet us. Our person who does the Facebook page, when we started out in the beginning of the year, we had 110 friends. And right now, we're up to almost 1,500 new friends that have joined our page. We're constantly getting inquiries about membership and how to grow the membership. So we're expanding that operation. Also, I have a personal Facebook page that I have for myself, and that's going by leaps and bounds. Then I have another page that deals with PTA issues, parent involvement issues. So that page is going. But it's all interconnected, you know, based around what we do in the NAACP.
Okay, the NAACP, so on Facebook, what's the NAACP page, and what is your page?
The NAACP page is PG NAACP, and they can get there and see everything that's going on. And then on my page is Bob Ross 32. They can get to me on there.
So what I'm going to do is I'm in several different groups on Facebook, and I'm also out on Twitter. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to friend you on Facebook, and I'm going to bring you into a lot of these different groups that we're in. Our main group right now that I participate in is called Take Back the House in 2012,
mm-hmm.
and there's about 1,400 of us in that group. And we've only had this group going since probably the middle to end of August.
And you're right. The house has to be taken back for the people. I listen to all these people. There is not a valuable Republican candidate that I see out there right now to be president. Not a single solitary one. And they keep trying to find. I listen to all of the debates. I said, who has our interests at best when I listen to the issues. And the issues that they talk about are not relevant to the average person. But for some odd reason, everybody thinks that everybody is middle class. Well, that's not true.
Right.
You know, and we got to get away from that notion that everybody is middle class. Sometimes this new technology has put people into a fantasy world. And I think they are in a fantasy world with some of this. But when you go out and you start going into neighborhoods, I don't care what state that you go into, you start going into neighborhoods, you see how depressed we are. We still got a hunger problem here in this country. We haven't won the war on poverty.
That's for sure.
And in America, nobody should have to go to bed hungry. But yet we got people going to bed hungry.
And the Republicans are basically trying to put that blame on President Obama, calling him the food stamp president now.
Right. You know, so I'm trying to understand it. You know, Lyndon B. Johnson waged that war on poverty, but they pulled the same politics that they pulled after the civil rights movement. You know, you had those Dixiecrats that was in saying that they were going to enforce civil rights. They had no intention of enforcing civil rights, and they just kept it going and going and going and just find ways to slow you down. And this is the same thing that's happened again. They're trying to find ways to slow it down. You know, they'd rather hurt one person, get them out of office, they would hurt millions and millions of other people. That don't make any sense to me.
I agree.
That don't make any sense.
I'm gonna back you up for just one moment. And when
I'm
we were
sorry.
Talking about some of the voters, where you talked about only basically about 47% of the voters turned out. Now, what do you say to people that don't vote simply because they feel that their vote doesn't count?
Their vote count, and what we're gonna be saying to them: if you don't get out and vote for somebody, okay, then you will end up with somebody that you may not like. So your vote is very relevant, because if you look at the margin of error that would take place in the election, we can't afford not to have anybody to go out and vote. So I'm going to encourage them to vote. I'm going to encourage them because your ancestors, your great-grandparents, your grandparents fought for you to have the right to vote, and you should exercise that right to vote. Your children need to go. One of the things that we're working on is another project that I'm working on is called Black Values and Black Responsibilities. And one of the things this group, we have decided that we didn't do a good job in educating our youth behind us. So we're going back now to start educating them and being mentored to our new leaders and train our new leaders in what they need to do.
You know, you bring up a very good point. I know because back in October, when the National Action Network came to D.C. for the March for Jobs and Justice, and that weekend for the dedication of the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial, you know, and I was out there, and I was really, really amazed at the large turnout. Because it was originally rescheduled from back in August. So
right.
With school being in and everything else, I didn't think they would get the numbers that they actually got. It was a tremendous turnout.
Yes, it was.
I was very proud to see that. But one thing that that struck me were the number of people that actually brought the kids along. And that's one of the things that hit me the hardest, because since the Civil Rights era, we hadn't had really any of these marches or anything like that. Other than maybe the Million Man March, which was you know a one day thing, and I know you were, matter of fact, I know you had something to do as far as the logistics around that,
yes,
organizing that march. But our kids, they don't understand the struggle, they don't know the history. It's not being taught in the schools, you know, and they may see something on Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday about Martin Luther King Jr. and the things that went on, but they don't see or have any recollection of the issues that happened, for example, in Birmingham, Alabama, where they turned on the fire hoses and let dogs loose.
Uh-huh.
And you can kind of compare a little bit of that today with the Occupy movement, where, you know, and it's not, granted, it's not as violent or anything, and it's not the same kind of a basis. But when you look at these civil disobedience gatherings that they're doing all across America and all the world, and then you see that are basically violently attacking them, spraying them with pepper spray and beating them with clubs and everything else, it's almost a similar type thing. And I'm just, you know, are we going backwards in time or what here? But to get our kids exposed to something like this, and they need to see what the struggle is, because that struggle is going to continue for the rest of our lives, in my belief.
And that's why they're, like I said, I'm meeting with a group of brothers from Washington, Baltimore, Prince George's County, Philadelphia, New York, Rhode Island. We had our third meeting in Philadelphia on the 15th of this month. And we talked about how we're going to reach back and start training our youth in the struggle. It's really timely, because it's really what the NAACP has said. We have to make a recommitment to civic engagement. You know, and one of the things that I always heard people always tell me, that's not realistic. Your goals are not realistic. Well, I tell folks very simple. They said the March on Washington wasn't realistic, but we went anyway. Mm-hmm. They said to do their sit-ins wasn't realistic, but we did it anyway. They said to have black student union lounges on campus wasn't realistic. You wouldn't get it, but we did it anyway. They said to fight for black professors to get tenure, and I went to Penn State, and we fought through with brown bag lunch to make sure that we got black professors with tenure. But people said that wasn't realistic. So I'm saying anything that's good for people, people are not going to like when you start representing the mass of the people. But if you look at the black struggle in this country, it has united people throughout the world, because the one symbol that you see throughout the world is the clenched fist. Where did that start at? 1968 at the Olympics. But you look at all the struggle, and what the youth have to understand, they have to step up to the plate and do the work, because it's the youth that makes the changes in the world. If you look at the struggle that's going on worldwide, you see that as young people saying that we're tired. And that's what the Occupy Wall Street movement is. They're saying that we're tired. We are tired. We're doing this thing. They want to alert folks. Hey, you better get your act together, because we're tired. We want the American dream that you had. And Congress and the Senate better wake up.
I agree.
Okay, so the young folks are saying we're tired, and they send a very quiet, subtle message, and that's why it's been able to go on and on and on.
So out of last night's Republican candidate, Were there any, salient points that you picked up from that at all? And anything that you feel, I'll say, because there were some things that they said that really scared the death out of me. I mean, for one, they were talking about basically going into Iran and bombing Iran because of their fear of them getting nuclear weapons, which basically is, you know, the country's been complaining about the two wars we've been involved in, and here it is, they want to start another one as soon as one of them gets elected to office. Is there anything that stuck out to you that, you know, the people ought to be aware of and really afraid of?
I didn't see the debate last night because I was at a meeting here in Maryland. A candidate announced that he was running for the U.S. Congress for senator here in the state of Maryland. So I wanted to hear what he had to say last night. So
you care to share with us who that was that is deciding to run?
Senator Anthony Meese.
Okay.
And he's running against Ben Cardin for the U.S. Senate. So I wanted to hear what he had to say. I wanted to see who was attending the meeting and the feel of what his issues were. You know, so I listened very carefully. As you know, we can't endorse anybody, but you have to be at the table to hear what's going on, what the issues are. So that was very interesting, and listened to, and it was both white and black that was there, and I listened, and so you know, so that's going to be a big thing coming out in the media pretty soon, you know. But when I look at that Iran war period, yeah, I'm against war. There's no reason why we have to go to war every time. The war complex, the money that they spend on the Pentagon, that they'll take just a day or 2 days of that budget, we could have decent schools in this country.
Agreed.
Since I've been living, we have not had a peace time. 67 years, we have not had a peace time. Well, I was born in 1944, so I was born in during World War II. Then it was the Korean conflict. Then it was Vietnam. Then it was Dominican Republic. Then El Salvador. Then Iraq, Iran. And now you talk about going into killing folks is not the answer to the issue. You got to sit down at the table and talk to people. You know.
The one thing we don't do, we seem to want to jump and fight to flex our muscle rather than our brains.
Because it's big business.
Yeah.
I was telling you, like, the war kind of war is business. It's money. Companies make money off of war. Ammunition, weapon, missiles, system, airplane, aircraft, you know. But that money can be spent on social issues.
Agreed.
Here,
listen. Well, let me ask you one final question here, because we're going to have to get ready to wrap up. Last Friday, Newt Gingrich was addressing a conference at Harvard, and one of the comments that he made was basically about kids, poor kids in their schools, and wanting to fire all the unionized janitors and have one master janitor and basically have the kids work in their schools and abolishing child labor laws. What do you want?
Newt Gingrich bumped his head on that one. I mean, there's something that is absolutely ridiculous, and I just think that he was trying to stimulate some conversation. To respond to him on that one, I mean, it's just, I don't really have a response for him, but except he done bumped his head. Okay, maybe we ought to put his kids in there cleaning and let them be the janitor. And you know,
yeah, I think it basically just made a statement loud and clear of where the Republican Party and their principles are at in regards to the middle class, in regards to the poor, in regards to minorities. the elderly and our youth, and that is the fact that basically they feel we don't count.
They don't want a middle class. They want a caste system in this country, the rich and the poor. That's what they're trying to move to.
All right.
And that's what we have to fight.
All right, well, in wrapping up here and everything, and I do appreciate you coming on, is there any last words you want to leave with us, or you want to, is there anything that, what would you like to see come out of this as far as people that are hearing your voice right now do in regards to trying to help you out in your mission going forward in PG County and on a national level with the NAACP?
On a national level, I would like to see people get involved with the voter empowerment piece that national that NAACP had one because and really start working on how to get out the vote and educating voters, and particularly in the Hispanic and in the Black community, if we are going to survive in this country. So I would encourage people to get involved at the local level, get involved with other organizations, because you got a Project Vote, you got American Vote that they can be a part of. You got all kinds of organizations out there. Your homeowners association, get them involved in the issue. Any nonprofit should now be looking, because it ultimately affects them, their funding. Because all of the money that used to come into nonprofit for Head Start and for health issues and your social clinics and all of that, you know, that money is being cut back. So we're going to have to organize and get it done.
All right.
And that's a lot of work, because people are not used to doing that the old-fashioned way that we used to do it. Give of yourself. You got to give back to your community. And they don't, and right now, people don't want to give back. But they got to give back if they're going to survive in America.
All right. Well, I definitely appreciate you coming on with us tonight and sharing all this information with us, Mr. Ross. And we'll be in contact with you. And hopefully we can help increase your numbers and provide you some additional help.
Okay. We appreciate that.
So, again, I thank you for coming on board with us.
Okay.
And I hope you have a very happy Thanksgiving, and I'm sure we'll be talking again in the future.
And same to you now, Jazz.
All righty.
And thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
All right, good night.
Good night. All right, family, before we close out, I just wanted to say we lost another good brother in the last week, and that was hip-hop star Heavy D. And he was remembered at his funeral services last Friday. I did want to bring out the fact that President Obama actually wrote a letter to his family and basically saying they extended their heartfelt condolences at this difficult time, and that he will be remembered for his infectious optimism and many contributions to American music. So please know that you and your family will be in our thoughts and prayers. And that was read to the family from Reverend Al Sharpton during the service. Again, he is another brother that led us to. All right, so our call to action, you know, let's each one teach one. Let's get out here and start getting people together and get registered to vote. Again, I encourage you, as always, to join some of the Facebook groups and communities we have out here. Take Back the House in 2012, The Reality of Rick Perry's Texas, Veterans for Obama, Veterans Against Rick Perry, Republicans for Obama, and Team Obama. As well as 12 Progressive Action to Remove Republicans in 2012. So everybody, I thank you for your time this evening, for joining us, and I pray that everybody will have a happy and abundant Thanksgiving weekend. And so until next time, take care and be safe out there. Thank you.